Well, hi, and thanks for joining us as we continue this conversation that Dan kind of got us into about what it means to be a church without walls. I've been on staff longer than either of you. I go back to the late 90s.
You're old.
I am old.
I think you can add ours together. We're still not there.
Probably not. But Sean, you mentioned before we started rolling cameras that this church without walls language has been part of Calvary's vocabulary for more than 20 years. Mm-hmm. And it was one of the first things that you heard, you picked up on when you started attending Calvary.
Yeah.
So this is a long time of us living with the language, but I think we're really starting to sink our teeth into what it means to live, to be a church without walls.
Yeah.
Since you guys are newer than me, why don't you guys talk a little bit about what that means to you? What drew you? I mean, both of you chose to attend Calvary, and I think it was partly because of that vision. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, I was looking for a church that was hiring, and so I wasn't immediately drawn to Calvary, and I had friends that were attending Calvary, and they said, just come with us some weekend. And so we came, and the first weekend that we attended Calvary, Dan was talking about Calvary's vision.
Yeah.
And Church Without Walls, and we came back a second week. We were really enamored by it, honestly, coming from a different community, kind of growing up in this very conservative fundamental box of how church looks like.
Right.
Week two, we come back, and it was very similar teaching and vision casting. And then I believe I reached out and emailed you and Dan and basically said, I just appreciate what you guys are doing, and I would love to see this happen in the community I live in.
Right.
And then we got together and had lunch and talked more about that. But it was fresh. And I think, you know, one of the things as we talk about church without walls, I mean, there's so many different elements of it, but one of the big things that was being talked about at that time was the partnerships that Calvary was having with other churches.
Yep.
The generosity, open hands, blessing others. And again, I wasn't seeing much of that in the community that I was living in, that I still live in. And so that was just a breath of fresh air for me, because I know that it's easy for churches to think about the thing, the Sunday morning experience, and we put all of our eggs into that basket, and we don't think about other churches, we don't think about our neighbors, we don't think about other nonprofit organizations. So I think there's so many definitions of what Church Without Walls can look like, but just kind of peeling back those layers for me, and God using that in my life and Tara's life to open us up to all that He has for us when we don't focus on just what it looks like to meet in a building and to worship corporately there.
Yeah.
You know, I think for me, my first experience with Church Without Walls, CWOW, was before I was ever at Calvary. I was pastoring a small church here in State College, and I actually experienced Calvary living out the CWOW vision without realizing that's what they were doing. So Dan, you know, as another pastor in town, was really intentional to invite me into leadership training activities that Calvary was putting on. There was times that they blessed us financially, you know, in different ways. And so whenever it came time for God was kind of calling our small church to do something different. And long story short, we ended up feeling like what He was calling us to do was join in with another church, just kind of close Discovery Road Church down and connect with another church. And it ended up being Calvary, in large part because of what I came to find out was the CWOW vision, because I thought, well, this is a guy who's not just worried about building Calvary.
Right.
He wants to see the kingdom of God excel in the area. And it's like, well, that's a vision I could get behind. That's a guy who's not just looking out for himself or his church, his congregation, but he was really concerned with the kingdom, the capital C church in Center County. And so that's really what kind of led us to say, I think Calvary's the church.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's a great segue into the next thing that I wanted to ask you guys. Dan talks about the changing or I guess reframing the definition of church. He, for most of us, we grew up, church is a building, a place, a thing that we go to.
Yep.
It's that Sunday morning activity. But Dan says the church is not the building; it's a people.
Yeah.
And how has that changed, shaped the way that you see what we're doing and your role in what we're doing?
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty actively, and I've mentioned this in past times where I was, you know, part of these recordings, you know, very actively involved in Front Yard Mission. Mm-hmm. And so CWOW and Front Yard Mission, there's definitely some connection there. So just that idea of you know, even just reversing the, like, hey, the mission is to get as many people as we can into, yep, the building. Mm-hmm. You know, the mission is to try to get people to attend a church service on a Sunday morning and then have the, you know, the quote-unquote professionals, you know, present the gospel and lead the worship and all that kind of stuff and just hope somebody gets an encounter, has an encounter with Christ, versus I'm the church everywhere that I go. I'm carrying the Holy Spirit inside of me. Each of us, everybody who's following Christ is carrying the Holy Spirit inside of them. And so there's just as a high likelihood, maybe higher, of my, wow, neighbor encountering Christ around my dining room table, mm-hmm, you know, in my backyard, as at the church service, if for no other reason, especially nowadays, they're more likely to accept an invitation to my, yeah, backyard, or to my dining room table, than they are to attend a church service, yep, in a building they've never been in with a crowd of people they've never met, all that kind of stuff. So just that idea
different rituals, yeah, songs they've, yep, never heard.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. And so, and it's really the missional, you know, we go to them.
Right.
That's what it means to be missional, not forcing them to come to us. You know, you overcome all the uncomfortableness, you overcome, yeah, all the cultural barriers and come to us, versus, you know, we're going to be the ones that make the trip. We're going to come to you and we're going to show you Christ in the way that we live and speak and love and serve and all that kind of stuff. So that's been really exciting.
Yeah, and mine would be very similar. Tara and I have lived in our neighborhood for almost 27 years now, and we have invited over and over again for folks to come to the building with us, or come to a Christmas or Easter, right, service, you know, at those special times of the year. And they've never come.
Right.
But every time we have invited them into our home or onto our deck for a cookout or for donuts and coffee, every time, yeah, they say, yeah, what time can we bring something? And there is this layer within that you kind of said, we, you know, they don't know what they're stepping into. And as church leaders, when we invite people into the building, we may not even be able to sit with them, sure, or even talk to them, because, right, we're doing other things.
That's terrible hospitality, isn't
it's
it?
Horrible hospitality. And I think for a lot of our listeners, we may be inviting people into a church building, and then we may not be there that weekend. We may be, you know, vacationing or traveling, whatever. And so, but when you have a very specific, hey, how about a meal Tuesday night? Come into my house. You know you're going to be there, and, yeah, you invite them in. And I'll tell you, it's so refreshing to be able to have that. And the conversations that we have had in our home with our neighbors, I'm not able to have those same conversations with them during a worship service in, sure, a church building. And so we have seen so much more traction with the relationships with our neighbors because of this focus on church without walls and being the church wherever we're at. And I know we have a lot of folks that listen in that don't have neighbors because of their rural setting, but it's, you know, church without walls wherever you're at, if that's, right,
it's the principle.
It's the,
right,
principle.
It's not the, sure, I mean, don't narrow the definition so tightly that it doesn't apply to, I mean, it's, I think, I like to think of it as where you live, work, learn, play
yeah.
You've got people.
Yep.
God has put people into your life that he wants you to love and show them what it means to be a part of Jesus's family.
Right.
So,
yeah, and I think as simple of a prospect as it is, you know, my wife and I love to host people, and so that comes kind of naturally to us. You know, we get not necessarily to everybody. It is still a significant paradigm shift that you know is not the easiest thing for everybody to overcome, you know, and really even helping people understand, like, hey, you can do this. Like when you leave, like, you don't need the paid professionals,
right,
to introduce your neighbor to Christ. Like you have everything that you need to be able to do this.
Right.
But you know, not everybody sees it, and partially because, you know, that's not, you know, even not even just Calvary, kind of the capital C church, that's not what we've been asking them to do.
Oh yeah.
And so this is a fresh ask that has some you know, some hurdles, some things that we need to help kind of coach people over, that we need to learn, you know, how to get over. And so, yeah, I do think it's, you know, don't get frustrated, you know, with yourself or with others that are, because it's a change.
Well, it is. And I've been trying to remind people that we're trying to take the long view of it.
Right.
Like it's not a one and done kind of thing. It's a life. I mean, the gospel moves at the speed of relationship.
Yep.
And when you build good relationships with the people that are in your life, you earn the right. They see you living out the gospel. That's what it means to be the church without walls. We've tried to. Here's what I think. Dan has said we're not going back to normal. We're driving a stake in the ground and saying, so from this point forward, coming out of the pandemic, out of that season, we're going to do something different. We're not going back to normal. And our one Sunday a month where we don't meet in the building, that's going to be the stake in the ground.
Yep.
So that we can emphasize what it means to live on mission, to be the church without walls. Now, if people take the view that, well, that's my Sunday to, well, either take the day off,
yeah,
or that's the Sunday that I'm really supposed to love my neighbors.
Yeah, one day a month.
Right. Talk about that a little bit.
Like, like you said, the stake in the ground is kind of it's a monthly reminder of how we're supposed to be living our life every day of the month.
Yeah, yeah.
Lifestyle. You know, it's kind of a visual that like, hey, every month we just kind of have that reminder of like, hey, there's no in-person worship service this weekend. Why isn't there? It's the visual reminder to say this is how we're called to live all the time.
Right.
All the time. So we really have to be careful to not allow ourselves to kind of fall into that rut or into that trap of just thinking like, okay, well, once a month I need to be intentional. Well, yeah, no, we need to be intentional all the time.
If we do it that way, it becomes just another program.
Right.
Yep.
Legalistic.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Stace, curious for you, because you and Kim are now in a brand new neighborhood, and you just talked about the importance of building relationships.
Yep.
So, I mean, you can probably speak into some of our listeners who are in a brand new setting
because
you're living it.
Well, I would say brand new setting, or if this is new to you. So what it looks like for us is we are trying to connect with our neighbors. We're learning people's names. I mean, we lived in Houserville for 20 plus years, and we were known really well there. Now we're in a new setting, so we're trying to learn people's names. We're trying to invite them over or invite us over to their house, which is. We're team sublets a lot.
It's an art.
when we roll into
someone's house. Self-invitation is an art form. Yeah.
But that's what we're doing. So we're praying a lot.
Yeah.
We're praying and looking for ways that we can love people and serve them and looking for ways to... Now, the natural, when people learn, oh, you're a pastor. I'm not coming to your church. I already go to a whatever it is. And I am quick to say, I'm not inviting you to what you think. I don't say that, but we do want to invite them into our lives.
Yeah.
And that's for us, that's what we're trying to model for our kids. This is what it means to live as the church without walls.
Yep. Love it.
Yeah. So any last thoughts?
Well, yeah, one quick thing I was thinking of even just listening to Dan's video that he did on CWOW, the principal of CWOW was, you know, we can oftentimes feel, anytime there's change, really, in general, there can be kind of this feeling of hesitation, fear, anxiety, you know, or I just don't want to do it. We come up with reasons. And I would just say, you know, before, you know, just taking CWOW Sundays as a Sunday off or just saying, well, we'll just go attend church somewhere else and we'll circle back around to Calvary the following week. You know, just be aware of the reality of there is a spiritual thing to this. We do have an enemy that is, does not want us to live as a church without walls.
Right.
Individually or corporately, and even just our own sin nature, there's something about CWOW Sunday, Front Yard Mission, that calls us away from self-preference.
Mm-hmm.
It's calling us into a lifestyle of preferring others over ourselves. And so don't discount the reality of that kind of pushing back against our desire or our willingness to kind of move out in love towards those living around us is just the recognition of like, yeah, I got some selfishness in me. I do. You know, in my schedule, the way I schedule my day, the way I schedule my week, all that kind of stuff. And so just to have some self-awareness to say, it's not just like, oh, that's a terrible idea, you know, but do the heart work.
Right.
You know, ask the Holy Spirit to help you even look into your own heart and see, is there something in here that's the real the real thing behind the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Like, why am I against CWOW Sunday, or why am I not jumping in, or why am I kind of observing it passively?
Right.
You know, maybe it's because there's something in here that that God's wanting to deal with.
Yeah. That's good.
No, I'll fist bump you on that. That was a good word.
I wasn't going to do that. I was going to have him pray.
Okay.
Well. All right. I can do that, too. All right. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for the ways that you're leading us. Thank you for your patience with us. Yeah. Lord, thank you for the times that even when we're not living out the CWOW vision that you've given us, the way that we could be to the fullest extent, Lord, you're patient, you're kind, and you just continually draw us closer to your heart. And so, Lord, we just pray for Calvary Church. We pray for each one of us individually, but also corporately. God, help us to lean in to a lifestyle of a church without walls. Lord, help each of us to ask the question, how can I take a step towards being a church without walls in my community, in my neighborhood, in my workplace, in my family? And, Lord, give us the courage and the faith to take whatever step it is that you show us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks.